Hi, can you start?
My name is Nityananda Das. I'm from Dallas, Texas. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharajas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Nityananda Prabhuji, Dandavat Panam. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.25.26. I would like to hand over the call to His Grace Damodar Anand Prabhuji to give introduction about our wonderful speaker today. Damodar Anand Prabhuji, you can hand over the call, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. It's my honor to welcome and introduce His Grace Nityananda Prabhu, who is a very senior disciple of His Highness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He is presently the temple president of Shri Radha Kalachandji Temple in Dallas. He has been the member of the GBC for more than a decade. He has had different roles in the GBC. He has served as the chairperson for the North American GBC executive team, which oversees all ISKCON temples across North America. He presently serves as the GBC of five states in the USA. Under his strong leadership, the Hare Krishna Temple in Dallas is flourishing with leaps and bounds. He is coming from a strong political family background from Fiji, which is definitely seen in him leading the community to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's mission. Nityananda Prabhuji has devised various ways to make the Fiji community stronger in Krishna consciousness. Under his able guidance, the Kirtan 50 took to a completely different level. His classes are not only thought-provoking, replete with Vedic knowledge, but also an unlimited source of motivation. Being a member of the GBC, he is able to preach the message of the spiritual master far and wide. He is the perfect temple president who trusts his community and encourages new ways of preaching, be it at the University of Texas Dallas campus or at the Sankirtan parties. Nityananda Prabhuji, along with his wife, Manjuali Mataji in Dallas, are perfect examples of how to live the Das Anudasa principle and always follow Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Please join me in welcoming His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My question was, is it verse 26 or 46? I don't know if I heard correctly. What is the verse number?
It's 26.
It's
26.
It's 46, Prabhuji.
46. Thank you very much. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyan Indana Shalakaya Chakshuram Ritam Yena Dasme Shri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamagam Dadami Svapadamikam Pancha Kalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasa Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhakta Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaura Pramanande Hare Hare Bol. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, which deals with the creation of the fourth order. Today, dealing with chapter number 25, text 46. This is Narada Muni describing the life of Puranjana to King Barhisat. Panchadvarastu paurastya. Dakshineka tathottara. Dakshineka tathottara. Paschimedve amushamte. Namani nripavarnaye. Panchadvarastu paurastya. Dakshineka tathottara. Paschimedve amushamte. Namani nripavarnaye. The synonyms. Pancha is five. Dwaraha, doors. Two, then. Paurastya, facing the eastern side. Dakshina, south, southern. Eka, one. Tatha, also. Uttara, one, toward the north. Paschime, similarly. On the western side, dve, two, amusham, of them, te, unto you, namani, names, nripa, O king, varnaye, I shall describe. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear king, of the nine doors, five led toward the eastern side, one led toward the northern side, one led toward the southern side, and two toward the western side. I shall try to give the names of these different doors. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Of the seven doors on the surface, namely the two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one mouth, five look forward, and these are described as the doors facing the eastern side. Since looking forward means seeing the sun, these are described as the eastern gates. For the sun rises in the east. The gate on the northern side and the gate on the southern side represent the two ears, and the two gates facing the western side represent the rectum and the genitals. All the doors and gates are described below. Om Gyan Timiran Dasya Gyanam Jana Shalaka Chakshurun Letam Yenatasmei Shri Guru Vedama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami. Hare Krishna. So I'm truly very honored to be in this illustrious group, Bhakti Sangha. I'm so happy to see that you have switched to this model where one can also see the person who's speaking, because being personal is very important. And it's always good to see the people who are being spoken to. In our programs that we have for the North American leaders, we require that all persons keep their videos on so that everybody can see everybody. And that way what happens is becomes very personal. In an otherwise impersonal modem of reaching out to other, we make things as personal as possible. So you might consider that in the future, talk amongst yourselves how you feel. Of course, it's also very important to do things based on one's own feelings. And so if the group decides that, no, it should be the way it is now, that's perfect also, because that's just the way life works, that our emotional feelings are very important. And so in this story of Narada Muni speaking with King Barhisat, King Barhisat, as you know, is a very powerful king, and but has some very strong desire to do things in a way that will include sense gratification. Now, sense gratification is not in itself a bad thing. Krishna has described Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is described as a person who really likes to gratify his senses. He is the best at gratifying his senses. So obviously it is not a bad thing to gratify one's senses. The point is to gratify one's senses correctly, that one should do it in the correct way. Just like anything in life, there's nothing right, wrong in driving a car on the road, but the idea is to drive it in the right way. You can't drive on the incorrect side of the road, which happens to be in America, the left-hand side most of the time, pretty much all the time. When you take exceptions of one-way streets, and there are some streets where they do allow you to go on the left side. It is important for us that when we're driving, that we follow the rules and regulations of driving in the United States of America. So in the very same way, one can gratify one's senses based on doing it the way that Lord Krishna wants us to do it. Because as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, the most important rule of chapter 3 is that everything we do should be for Vishnu. It's described that all sacrifice should be performed for Vishnu, meaning for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is the original Vishnu. Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna, and a number of times forward like that. And he derives his name from Krishna, because Krishna is the originally all auspicious person. Vishnu means all auspicious, like that. So everything we do should be for Krishna's pleasure. That is the understanding, and that is the correct way to live one's life. And if we do that in our lives, then everything will be amazingly successful in terms of feeling complete satisfaction. The key word from all of scripture that describes the purpose of life in the material world is supersedity. You might have heard this word in the Srimad Bhagavatam when the answers were being given to the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages got together in a very large conference in a forest called Naimisharanya. And they actually wanted to make sure that the residents of Kali Yuga could have the best possible life, create the best possible results in their lives. And so they asked many questions, and of those questions, the first answer that was given was Savekum Cham, Parodharmo, Yathor Bhakti, Adokshije. This word supersedity is used, that the most important, the greatest, pretty much the only occupation of the human being is to always engage in the loving devotional service of Sri Krishna, described as adokshiya, means cannot be defeated, undefeated, always be successful, infallible like that, infallibly undefeated like that. So ahoitukiya pratyata, meaning that one should do it without any personal motive, should be unconditional, and also all the time, without cessation, apratyata. And then in that case, yayatma, supersiddhi means has complete satisfaction. So in this pastime, Narad Muni, who is considered the all-time greatest preacher in creation, past, present, and future. Amazing preacher, just an amazing preacher. And it is very amazing that he became such an amazing personality by serving the Bhaktivedantas. It is described as serving the sadhus who had for 4 months in the year, there's Chaturmasya, and these sadhus, they stay in one place and they do a lot of reading and a lot of consulting with one another about the Supreme Absolute Truth, Param Satya, Parabrahman, like that, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Gauranga, Lord Sri Krishna originally, Lord Gauranga for this age of Kali, and also in separation from Krishna, from Krishna's pastimes, Lord Radhakrishna's pastimes, Krishna Balaram's pastimes, we have this pastime of separation in which Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Shrivas Thakur, they become the key personalities, and particularly Gaur Nitai, for us, based on our parampara, are considered the most important personalities for us, so that we can become fully Krishna conscious like that. So this is actually the process. The process is that one engages in devotional service. So in this story, Narad Muni, very amazing, brilliant preacher, is explaining the life of a very powerful king whose name is King Puranjan. Of course, this is an allegorical story, which means actually what Narad Muni was doing was describing the future of King Barhisat as a king. Because kings are considered to be very powerful personalities. In this world, everybody wants to be a king or a queen in some way, shape, form, or another. Everybody's trying to rise in their status to a very high status where one can actually enjoy one's senses to the fullest, like that. So Narad Muni is explaining the life of King Puranjana. And at this point, he's talking about the nine gates in the material body, which are these doorways to engaging in a way that gratifies our senses. Five of them are facing north, as we say. North means facing ahead. This is why in Vastu also it is described that if you are sitting in a place and you're going to be dealing with others, and if you're facing north, then you'll be more influential because the north has that ability to do that in that way. Now for us, the north happens to be the left ear, because when you're facing north, there are five gates that are in facing the, when you're facing east, five gates facing east are the two eyes, the two nostrils, the two ears, and the mouth. Two eyes, two nostrils, and the mouth is a facing north. And then to the south on the left side, north on the left side and south on the right side. And then that's north, north and south. And then the west is described as the genitals. These are and the rectum, like that. So these are nine gates. So for us, we have also a description of engaging our senses and gratifying our senses in nine different ways. As you know, there are nine forms of devotional service. For us, these nine forms of devotional service actually give us true gratification. These will actually give the senses true gratification. There'll be gratification doing it the material way, but there's also gratification doing it the devotional way, the spiritual way, you might say. Except it's more than spiritual, it's transcendental. The difference between spiritual and transcendental is spiritual deals with the soul, the spirit soul. Actually, the word spiritual comes from the word spirit. So it's spirit soul. And so when you come to self-realization, those issues that deal with self-realization are considered spiritual. But then spiritual rises to the highest level of its capacity when it becomes transcendental, which means it goes beyond this material world. It goes beyond the material senses. It goes beyond materialism altogether and into the realm of not just spirituality in the spiritual world, but to personal relationships with God, which is called rasa. Rasa means the relationship with the Supreme Lord himself. Five major rasas like that we have. This is transcendental. And so the activities change in all of these, the physical or metaphysical, because the metaphysical also becomes slightly spiritual, because in the metaphysical, there are elements that are used that do use the consciousness. Consciousness gives life, and that life actually is used in a metaphysical level. But the metaphysical level deals with sense objects, like this is a sense object, the phone, deals with the senses, the five senses, and then deals with the mind, deals with the intelligence, deals with the false ego. So these actually five make up metaphysical. And as we know, the false ego itself is not physical, so it's called metaphysical, means beyond physical. In the metaphysical arena, piety, intelligence, and nobility are what are the three major goals of metaphysical life. To be a pious person, do good things so that good results happen to us so we can be happy. Be intelligent so that we make the correct choices in our lives, discriminate properly in our lives. And finally, nobility, meaning having position, like the king, noble person. King Barishat is obviously noble. And why king? Because the king can enjoy his senses the most, the queen can enjoy her senses the most. And we will see as we go down this chapter, to further and further verses, go forward in this chapter to further and further verses, how Narad Muni so nicely describes that now the King Puranjana is going to meet a beautiful, very beautiful person and going to marry her, and she'll become the queen and he's the king. And then he's going to be led by the queen. And in being led by the queen, he will find himself completely in delusion. Sooner or later, he's going to find himself in a really bad situation, because that's what the material world leads to. Ultimately, the material world is a little like enjoy now and pay later type of situation, as opposed to a spiritual one, which is like take some austerity now so that we can enjoy later. And the transcendental one is we'll enjoy now and we'll enjoy later as well. There is no real austerity, because in Krishna consciousness, because we're engaging the soul and we're engaging according to our nature, which is what chapter 3 is all about, how to deal with ourselves based on our own personal nature. Krishna says, find me from where you are. Where we are is where our consciousness is, where our nature is where we are. And so in that situation, the devotee is always happy. The devotee is very happy engaging in devotional service now, and very happy to engage in devotional service when we go to that planet in the material world where Krishna is performing his pastime, whichever universe that is, and whichever other universe where Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastimes, both with their own wonderful associates, we'll be enjoying a lot there too. And finally, we'll go back to the original spiritual planet of Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, which is our ultimate purpose. In there, of course, we'll be enjoying a lot as well. So there is always enjoyment in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is based on the emotion of love. Actually, the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is love parading as a philosophy. It's actually love that we're talking about. And this love comes in the form of devotional service, bhakti, seva. Or service itself, the word service Prabhupada defines as expression of love. So if we, whatever we do, when we understand that everything that we're doing is an expression of love, no matter what we're doing, whether we're doing it while we're breathing out, holding the breath out, breathing in, holding the breath in, or for some of us who are so very smart at pranayama, who are able to also merge the incoming breath with the outgoing breath like that, that's the fifth breath. In any of these breaths, everything that we do should be only for Krishna's pleasure. So when we live our lives like this, then we're going to be very happy, because the nature of how Krishna arranged everything is that we will be in bliss when we live our lives according to our nature, which is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means doing things that are eternally the right thing to do, not just temporarily the right thing to do, eternally the right thing to do. And chit means to do it based on correct knowledge, jnana vijnana. Excuse me, that is based on sastra, that is based on guru and based on sadhu, guru, sadhu, and sastra, like that. So, and then, of course, as we know, in Krishna consciousness, there is a lot of bliss, the bliss of prasadam, which is something that Narada Muni himself actually experienced while associating these Bhaktivedantas, and therefore became the most powerful devotee, one of the greatest preachers in creation, the greatest preacher, you might say, in creation, like that. Always preaching so very nicely and able to travel to the spiritual world all the way to Golok Vrindavan like that, come back again here, do things like that. Of course, he will do it in this universe, but still he can cross the boundaries of the material world, which are not possible to cross, go to the spiritual world without following the process of Krishna consciousness properly like that. So also the bliss of the deities, serving the deities, worshipping the deities, talking to the deities, relating with the deities like that. You know, the bliss of chanting the holy names of the Lord, Kirtan, is so blissful. The bliss of associating with so many wonderful devotees like that. The bliss of preaching, the bliss of reaching out to people and sharing Krishna prema with others like that. The bliss of, you know, music, the bliss of the arts, bliss of education, so many blisses in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna consciousness is completely blissful. It's, in every way, it is completely blissful. The only reason we don't feel that bliss is because the mind might get in the way. The mind wants to enjoy material life, has been conditioned to enjoying material life, and thinks that is the only the right thing to do. And that's why you hear it in the talks of King Puranjana, how it is described that the transcendentalists don't really know how to live life nicely. Amazing. It's actually the transcendentalists are the only ones who know how to live life nicely, but in the story of King Puranjana, we hear that the transcendentalists actually don't know. They're not very smart, not very intelligent. And this is our conditioning. So because of that conditioning, the mind will keep telling us, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're not a devotee, you're a fake devotee. Look, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. I know how you are, you know, not doing so many right things, thinking bad things, doing bad things, like that. So you're really not a devotee, you're just trying to show off as a devotee, but you're really not a devotee. This way, discourage us, somehow or the other discourage us so that we'll move away from the transcendental path and come back again and again to the material path, like that. So this story of King Puranjana tells that story very nicely and shows what's happening on that path of material life. When we're on that path of material life, how we can really mess up in our lives with so many personalities who are going to drive us into illusion, make us do things that are not right, ultimately giving us a lot of misery in our lives. And there's a very nice aphorism. My Guru Maharaj spoke this often, that if you are looking for happiness in this material world, then you also have to accept the miseries that come with it. Because these are going to attach together like a coin has a head side and a tail side to the coin. And so if you're looking for the misery, which is the head side of the coin, the tail side is going to come with it also. The misery is going to come with the happiness. And that frustrates the living entity, creates a lot of difficulties like becoming depressed, anxious, angry, sad, delusional, like that. So many things happen. On the other hand, Prabhupada very nicely describes, actually I'm going to read it to you because it actually is a very nice statement made on 15th of May, 1977. And in this statement, Prabhupada actually says, he says, this is his exact words, if you get 1,000 of rupees, this is Prabhupada's exact words, okay? So this is him speaking, and when he's speaking, sometimes the English is not exactly correct, but it is correct from point of view of conversational English. If you get 1,000 of rupees, 10 rupees is already there. If you get Krishna, then you get all perfection. So all perfection, and this he spoke in Rishikesh on May 15th, 1977. As you know, Rishikesh is the seat of learning in India, considered one of the places of the seat of learning in India, the seat of spirituality like that. And so all perfection is likened to, let's talk in dollars and cents because we are here in the United States of America, but all perfection is likened to $10. And Krishna consciousness is likened to $1,000. So all perfection is only 1% of Krishna consciousness. But we don't even have a little perfection, you know, in our cases. We actually, in the things that we do in the material world, we don't even have a little perfection. There are people who are more perfect. Even the perfect person becomes more perfect. But there's definitely nothing called all perfection in the material world. In fact, there's nothing called perfection either in this material world, because this world is imperfect. Dukhalaya Sashvatam. How can a place which is full of misery and instability be perfect? The definition of perfection will not allow for those things to happen. And yet, here Prabhupada describes that in this material world, all perfection would be just like 1% of Krishna consciousness. And we all know in our Krishna consciousness, all of us who are here, who are practicing Krishna consciousness, that we have achieved something like 1% or 2% or 3% or some 5%, some 10, 20, 40, 50, 60, like that. And we're driving towards 100%, but it's way beyond 1%. And so we can imagine that there is no need to listen to the mind telling us there's something wrong here. Actually, everything is right. We're moving in the right direction. We are likened to a person who's taking a shower right now. So wait till the shower is over. When the shower is over, we'll be clean. We'll be fine. Everything will be fine. And Krishna often holds this shower back for the vast majority until we leave our body, because he doesn't want us to let the false ego and the mind again convince us to do the wrong things like that. The right thing is to always love Krishna, to always love Krishna's devotees, to always love everything about Krishna consciousness, and to be always happy. But this happiness is internal. Externally, because the world is unhappy, therefore we are paradukhaduki. So for us, you know, we actually don't express that happiness externally, because we realize others are not happy, and because they're not happy, we also are unhappy, because we see everyone as a child of Krishna. Krishna says that Bija Pratapita, I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. We see everyone as a servant of Krishna. They're all Krishna's servants. Jiva Sarupahoy Nityara Krishna Nandas. So, and then we also see that how Krishna said, how Krishna describes Suhridam Sarvabhutana, that Krishna loves everyone completely. I often say that if you take all the love of the material world and spiritual love and spiritual world, you know, material world, spiritual world, all the love of everybody there, put it together, still not 1% of 1% of 1% amount of love that Krishna has for each and every one of us. This is how powerful Krishna's love is. This is why we should aim for Krishna Prema. Then we will also reciprocate that love with Krishna. And that is our great happiness. Krishna's great happiness is to express his love for us. Our great happiness is to express our love for Krishna like that. And most of all, most powerful of all, he describes Mame Vamsa Jiva Loka, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. He also considers us part and parcel of him. I mean, that's amazing. You know, part and parcel means you're really good, close family. That you also inherit whatever. Like, for example, the children are part and parcel of the parents. Whatever the parents have, the children automatically enjoy that with less effort. Parents make a lot of effort to enjoy their assets. But the children, there's hardly any effort they have to make, and they also enjoy those assets. So how fortunate we are that Krishna allows us to do that. So knowing that everyone is connected to Krishna like this, we see that we want to serve everyone in such a way that it'll really please Krishna. And so because we see that while we're serving them, that many of them are not happy, then obviously we cannot reflect happiness either. Internally, we are completely happy to be Krishna conscious. We are not sad. We are not depressed. we do not have anxiety internally. Externally, yes, we do have these things because we have to relate with the world. And the world is in that condition, so we're trying to serve in such a way that the world will move into the correct position of transcendental life to become a place where everyone is happy like that. So I'm going to stop here and ask if any of you would like to ask any questions or say anything. This is a very large topic. One can say a lot about these issues, but it's better to speak in terms of individual experiences and realizations and inquiries like that. So please speak. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Such a wonderful and amazing class, Prabhuji. You have given each and every point so detailedly. I request all the devotees, if anybody have any questions, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. Prabhu, we talked about sense gratification in this part, but yeah. Then as devotees or as normal people also, when we say that we have to live simple and high thinking, but at the same time, the example of the car is also given, that a car is just to move a person from point A to point B. But at the same time, we see people having high-end cars or going for those. So how can that be perceived in a way which we can explain in preaching?
That's a very good question. Excellent question. Because we all have different natures. So based on our nature, there is a car that's going to suit our nature. You see, this is why variety exists in this world for everything. The variety is to allow us to connect with those things that are according to our nature. So some people like to drive very nice cars. It's very nice to drive very nice cars. There's nothing right or wrong about it. It's based on each person's choices. But the idea is to drive that car in a way that will please Krishna. Prabhupada himself said that, a spiritual master should be driven in the most expensive car like that because he's a representative of God. So because he's a representative of God, he should actually be driven in the best car, like that. So basically, the idea is not so much the value of the car, but the utility. What is the utility? How are you using that asset to please Krishna? And there, you're going to have a number of realizations. One is your own realization, how you feel personally, but also consulting with others to hear from others, because that is the best way to make any decision. When you make a decision, you should listen to as many people as possible. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes you should listen to everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry and his pet dog, like that. He gives that as a point of how you can become fully Krishna conscious. He said, take three steps to become fully Krishna conscious. First step is figure out who your spiritual master is, search for your spiritual master, and then hear from the spiritual master some instruction that will allow you to become fully Krishna conscious. To ask the spiritual master like that, what is my service like that? And then to ask everybody what they think that service means so that you can understand the service perfectly. And then you become, the third step is that you become one with your service, You become inseparable from your service. Desa Atmaka Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. You become one-pointed in terms of carrying out the instruction of the spiritual master like that. So in everything that we do, we also speak to others and see, what do you think about it? And then, but we make our own decision. The decision is made by you. It may not agree with everything everybody says, but it will be something that you think is what Krishna wants. And you know that your greatest pleasure is to please Krishna. So obviously what Krishna wants gives you the greatest pleasure. And that is why you're driving that car anyway. Driving so that you can be happy. And drive a nice car so that you can be happy. Well, now your greatest happiness is to please Krishna. And since your greatest happiness is to please Krishna, you'll drive that car that pleases Krishna the most. That's all. And you'll be very happy. And others may say whatever they say. Just recently I heard somebody saying, you know, I would never drive in a Honda. Who drives in a Honda? That's such a bad car. It's such a low-class car. You know, I drive in Mercedes-Benzes. I drive in that. So, you know, they were talking like that. And I was thinking, I could tell, this is their nature. You see what I'm saying? Now, somebody else who does drive in a Honda and is a very nice devotee, very nice person, may feel a little offended, right? Oh, you think that if I drive in a Honda, that means I'm a bad person, I'm a low-class person? And honestly speaking, what is our philosophy? We are the most fallen, right? So how can the most fallen not be low-class? We are low-class. From a spiritual point of view, from a transcendental point of view, everybody is low-class. You see what I'm saying? So we don't feel offended if somebody says low-class. So what? You know, we'll drive in a Honda because we think that's going to please Krishna the most. We'll drive a Honda. We'll drive a moped if we have to make please Krishna. We don't have a problem. We'll walk. In Vrindavan, originally, nobody had, you know, cars and mopeds and everything. They walked everywhere, you know, and they walk bare feet because, you know, they're getting the Brajraj, the, you know, the dust of Vrindavan. Krishna himself walked both bare feet and, you know, blessed Vrindavan to become the most worshipable, most lovable place like that. So, you know, these considerations are in some ways very, you know, political, social, economic, all these different considerations, right? But the key consideration is, what do you think will please Krishna the most? Do that. Now, most devotees also make the mistake of thinking Krishna wants me to suffer. Krishna wants me to be austere. Absolutely the opposite. Krishna wants me to enjoy it to the fullest. Krishna doesn't want me to suffer. He wants me to be very happy. But that happiness, that is what is considered to be happiness by the mind, you know, may not be the happiness. And therefore, in that sense, the mind may suffer, but the soul is not suffering, right? Like sometimes you might want to come for service like you do in your case with your husband, you come to the temple very early in the morning to wake up the deities. So it may not be easy to wake up so early and drive such a long distance, like 1 hour to come here, to wake up the deities early in the morning before Mangala Arati. But the soul gets a lot of pleasure from that. That's why you do it, because the soul gets a lot of pleasure. And then sooner or later what happens? The mind understands, actually it is nice. There's nothing wrong. I'm also enjoying. And then the mind becomes a friend like that. And then everything becomes fine from that point of view. You see? So if we keep working like that, everything, all the senses will come to their correct engagement. And again, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 12, Prabhupada describes in Bhagavad Gita, once you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and engage oneself in devotional service, engage the senses. He even says, do your occupational duty and chant Hare Krishna. Do your, carry out your occupation, whatever you might be doing, and chant Hare Krishna. Of course, whatever you're doing should be according to your nature as well. If you're a Brahminical person, do things that are Brahminical. If you're a Kshatriya type person, do things that are Kshatriya like that. Same for the Vaishyas and Sudras. Then whatever ashram you're in, act according to that. What will happen is you'll do a lot better. It's very natural to act according to the Varnashrama system. And slowly the world is going to move in that direction. Now with this pandemic and COVID-19, a lot of things are going to change a lot. One point that Prabhupada had made that I keep driving a lot amongst the devotees is, if you can, if it's possible, don't do a job, run a business. If you can run a business, run a business. Now, some of us have to have jobs because we have those types of visas that require us to work. Well, do that until you get your green card, citizenship or whatever. And then you can switch over. But always think of the fact on the side, how can you do something that's a business? And if you can't do it yourself because it might breach your visa conditions, then help somebody else do it for them so that, you know, you're learning also. So that by the time you're ready to do the business, you already know how to do it and you're going to do a very good job of it because of your experience. Help the temple. Help someone raise funds like that through our own businesses so that we don't have to look for donations from others. That way, the grihasthas are taking care of the temple, not people in the congregation who are not so much interested in being grihasthas or not so much interested in Krishna consciousness. Now we are reaching out to them, we're preaching to them, and that's why they are congregation. We want them to become devotees of Krishna fully also. They're already devotees of Krishna, which is why they join the congregation. But, you know, encouraging them to move forward like that. Sorry, long answer to a short question. But the idea is that we engage, utility is the principle. We engage ourselves for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. That engagement depends on each situation individually. There is no one rule for everything like that, except that everything should be done solely for Krishna's pleasure, solely for Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pleasure like that. Apart from that, we always remember Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we never forget like that. These are the only rules that are generic rules that go across. Other than that, most of the rules are very, very specific to each person's nature.
Thank you, Prabhuji. You make the philosophy always so simple to understand. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class. Prabhuji, you spoke about Krishna's love, which is so high and beyond our conception, beyond our, for us to conceive. But we, unfortunately, I'm talking for myself, I do not feel that love all the time.
Yeah.
And during those times, the soul does not feel happy always. Sometimes, even if it's not burden, it's more, sometimes it's like a duty. And during those times, how do we keep us motivated and, you know, do not go and search for the material happiness and try to go deeper into the Krishna consciousness? How do we do that, Prabhuji?
Excellent, excellent questions. Very, very nice question. This is something that causes lots of problems for all of us at some point or another. So the point to understand is that it's not that the soul is not happy. It is the mind that's not happy, the intelligence, the false ego, they're not happy. And we misidentify the soul with these persons, you know. The soul is always happy. The soul is Satchitananda. The soul is not going to be unhappy. The only unhappiness of the soul is that it's separated from its beloved. Just like, you know, Romeo and Juliet. Every time Romeo got separated from Juliet, he was not happy. And Juliet was not happy either. So, you know, like that. So the soul is always looking for its soulmate. And its soulmate is Krishna. You see, its soulmate is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So basically, that is the unhappiness of the soul. So naturally, because you're in Krishna consciousness now, and I'm in Krishna consciousness, and all of us are in this program of Krishna consciousness, the soul is becoming very happy now. The soul is actually feeling, wow, finally, we're right in the right spot now. It's like the fish back in water, you know. Now the fish can really breathe. Now the fish can really be happy because it's back in its element, you know, like that. So in that sense, that is not the issue. The issue is the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the physical senses, you know, extension of these also are feeling unhappy. Why are they feeling unhappy? They're feeling unhappy because you're moving away from material consciousness, and they want material consciousness because they're material. So they want material consciousness. Spiritual things want spiritual things. Material things want material things. So basically, how do we correct that? We try to make those material things spiritualized. So make our senses spiritualized, our mind, our intelligence, and even our false ego. We spiritualize it so it becomes back to the real ego, like that. So what are some of the practical steps we do that? Remember, for us, there are some things that we are told that will help us a lot in our Krishna consciousness. First is that we should be very enthusiastic about being Krishna conscious. We should be very determined. And we should become convinced. Prabhupada said, it's just three words. Are you convinced? So we have to become convinced, because when we become convinced, then we become patient. See, why we're impatient is because we're not convinced. We are worried. May not happen. Better do it hard. Work hard. Get it done right now so that I can get it. Because it may just slip away. May not happen. This is lack of conviction. We should be always convinced. Why? Because Krishna gives his promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Kaunteya tu pratijanihi name bhakta prashni. We cannot fail. We simply cannot fail. Now, it is true that we are progressing towards the path of complete satisfaction, but that's not failure. Just like, say, for example, because I train billionaires, you know, people want to become billionaires. And now I'm talking about some people should become trillionaires. So, point is, that's the business. I come from the business world, you know,
sort of runs in my blood to be a business person. Except my spiritual master asked me to take vows of poverty so I can run my own business. And so I help others do that. So there I tell them that, you know, if you're making progress, you're making your first $10,000, $50,000, celebrate that. Because, you know, as you make more money, you'll make more money, even more money, and one day you'll make $1 billion. Like that. So the same in Krishna consciousness. We celebrate whatever we're doing. Whatever we have achieved, we celebrate that. We say, thank you, Krishna, for allowing me. Because without Krishna's mercy, without him allowing us, there is no question that we can practice Krishna consciousness. There's no way we can without his mercy. And his mercy may come directly or most likely through another devotee encouraging us. So here comes a big clue. Associate with these persons who are enthusiastic, who are determined, and who are convinced about Krishna consciousness, you see. But that's going to rub off on us like that. And then do the things you like. In Krishna consciousness, there's so many things that can be done in Krishna consciousness. And surely there are some things that you must love doing in Krishna consciousness. Every time you do it, you feel great. Like for a lot of devotees, it means prasadam, you know. They think prasadam, they're happy, especially if it's pizza or paneer or something like that. So many things that devotees really love. Eating. So do those things. Prabhupada said you can eat your way back to Godhead. What a nice process, right? So yeah, you might become a little obese, a little big. So what? That's the body. It's not the soul. The soul's never obese. So, you know, don't get too carried away about, none of us, I'm not saying to you, but anyone, you should not get too much carried away about, you know, slim and trim and this, that, and the other. The world wants to be so that we can be respected. No, it's okay. You know, it can be a little on the heavier side. Nothing wrong. You like prasadam that much. But you know, kirtan, deities, you know, the books, the philosophy, the arts, the reaching out, doing this, that, and the other, whatever you love doing, do it for Krishna's pleasure. Make it into a devotional service item that can easily be shown by some of the more senior devotees who have experienced a lot in their lives, can show you whatever you're doing, how it can be made into a Krishna conscious program. And then you pursue that program nicely, you're going to be always very happy. And then, like I said, if you associate with the devotees who are enthusiastic, and then the biggest thing is that if you chant nicely, because this is really our process. Harinam, 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 Evilkeva, no? Hello, Nasteva, 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 Gitiranita. That anything you want to achieve in this life is based on your chanting. Chant nicely. And one way to chant really nicely is to chant a lot. You know, Prabhupada was asked this question again and again. Why 16 rounds? Because, you know, Lord Chaitanya said 64 rounds. So why 16 rounds, you know? And so Prabhupada wouldn't answer the question, but one day he did answer the question. And he says, why? Why 16 rounds? He said, you should chant 16,000 rounds a day. That's going to be a little hard, chanting 16,000 rounds a day. Very hard. But the point is chant all the time. See, if you love doing something, you like to do it all the time, right? So if you love chanting, love chanting all the time. And so what is chanting? Chanting is glorification of Krishna. You know, kirtiyate iti kirtanam. Glorifying Krishna is chanting. So you chant by putting your hand in a bead bag, chanting on beads as much as possible. Chanting on beads is millions of times more powerful than chanting on clickers like that. So chant on beads as often as you can. On Tulsi Mala beads, especially if you're initiated on the beads that your spiritual master has chanted on like that. And so, but you know, any service that you do for the glorification of Krishna is also chanting. Prabhupada said, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is chanting, reading Bhagavad Gita, reading any of the books that Srila Prabhupada wrote, and so many wonderful spiritual masters and other devotees on this planet have written. Reading those books is also chanting. You know, doing kirtan is chanting. Taking prasadam is chanting for the pleasure of Krishna. If you're eating, that is chanting. Everything that you do that glorifies Krishna is chanting. So we're 24/7 chanting. That's what we're doing. This is why I keep saying simple aphorism, always do everything for Krishna's pleasure, no matter what breath you're in. So then you're always chanting. You're chanting 24/7. Now, obviously, that's going to change your consciousness in such a powerful way. Miracles are going to happen in your life. Magical things will happen in your life. You know, amazing things are going to happen in your life. Thank you very much for that wonderful question. It's an excellent question.
Thank you for the wonderful answer, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Dhanavad Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for the
nice
class.
Hare Krishna
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Such a wonderful devotee.
So Prabhuji, hi. I was listening to your class and I recall reading recently Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.15. Mm-hmm. And in that, the purport is a very, very powerful, short purport, but very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very much related to the last question and it seems to be the theme of this class.
Nice.
I don't know if you could kindly read that purport, if it's possible, or you have access.
No, you read it, Prabhu. I'm not in front of a book right now, so go ahead, please.
Okay, so should I? So it's Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.15, and the purport goes as follows. As far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was a symbol of religion, and above all of them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher.
Mm.
And yet, there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas.
Mm.
Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons, under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, time, inevitable time.
Mm.
Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. Mm. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Jai Prabhupada.
Wonderful, wonderful. What a wonderful, wonderful explanation by Srila Prabhupada. I mean, that just gives a complete explanation, all in a few words, as a complete, because it actually deals with the misery as something that is real and that is okay. There's nothing wrong with the misery. Actually, another part of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also describes that in every misery comes amazing gifts. Just like, say, for example, you know, give a gift to someone, it comes in a package. Well, understand that the package is misery, but inside the package is the gift. The person who wants the gift will rip the package apart just to get to the gift, you see. So the package is like, you might say, the impediment towards getting the gift out of there. You know, it's becoming a little bit of an impediment. At the same time, it's going to carry the gift, so it's necessary. You know, the gift package is necessary like that. It's a necessary cost of the great benefit of the gift inside. So in the same way, every misery that we face in our lives has amazing gifts inside of it. When we deal with that misery correctly, the gift comes out and amazing things will happen. Like the best gift this creation could have got outside of Prabhupada setting up the ISKCON mission, you know, the mission of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is going to be COVID-19. You watch. Amazing things are going to come out at this time. I see devotees becoming so encouraged to preach, so happy to relate with one another. All these programs that we're doing, look at what happened to Bhakti Sangha, right? I mean, we were on phone calls, and this is a lot better now, a lot better. And now people are coming on that were not coming on. I never heard Piyush Prabhu, when I was on phone calls with the same group, I never saw Krishna Bhatija coming in from India, you know, people like that. I'm sure there's some others. If I see your faces, I'll recognize you. Some I recognize by your names. But so I know that you were not here before. But now you're here because of COVID-19. You know, what a great advantage COVID-19 has given us. I know it's a terrible time. Terrible if anybody gets COVID-19. We don't want that to happen. But, you know, as devotees, we should always be ready for death. Death can come at any time. It's not something that, in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, you know, was given with some type of a time span. Okay, you got 7 days, you know. None of us know how much we have. Some of us do have an idea. But most of us, the vast majority, have no idea when they're going to die, you know. So point is that, but we should always be prepared. And how do you prepare? By saying to Krishna right now, oh Krishna, I'm yours and you're mine. Everything I'm going to do,
past, present, and future. You can include your past as well. Krishna is okay. He can fix something from the past. That's Krishna. Try to understand what it means to be Supreme Personality of Godhead. He even says that in Bhagavad Gita. Yo mam eva masamodho janati purushottamam. One who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comma, without doubting, comma, is the knower of everything. You see? So, and such a person engages in my loving service, Krishna's loving service, with all of his or her heart and soul. So this is our process. Put our heart and soul right now to Krishna and say, Krishna, it's all yours. Please, past, present, future, everything of mine is yours. Please understand, all I want is to love you. And I don't want to do anything else exclusively but to love you. You know, put that in right now. You put it in right now, you die 5 seconds later, you watch your destination. And I'd say, wow, that sounds easy. Of course it sounds easy, but people don't do it. Because the mind says, nah, it can't be that easy. Intelligence, nah, it can't be that easy. No. It can happen for that, but not for me. I'm such a rascal. You can be the biggest rascal on the planet. Krishna consciousness can turn a rascal into a saint overnight. That's the magic of Krishna consciousness. And the story is there of Valmiki. Hear the story of Valmiki. Your ears will stand on end. What a rascal he was before he became such a more powerful person that he predicted Lord Ram's appearance. He wrote the Ramayana before Lord Ram came. You can't even predict your own activity. He predicted the Lord's activities. This is how great Valmiki is. You know. So what happened? What changed for him? It's the name of Krishna. Narad Muni, again, the great all-time preacher, said to him, just chant the name of Ram. We know there are 5 Ramas, right? So everybody comes in the name of Ram. That we want Lord Krishna, Radharani, Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga, Lord Balaram, they're all there in the name of Ram. He couldn't even say Rama. But Narad Muni was so smart, he liked to kill people, so they say Mara. You like to kill people, so you know how to say Mara, right? I can say Mara a lot. So Mara, 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 Mara. So Ramas came in. How nicely he got him to chant the holy names of God, holy name of Krishna, holy name of Radharani, holy name of Gauranga, holy name of Lord Nityananda, holy name of Lord Balaram. How nicely. And look what happened. He predicted the Lord's activities, became such a great, amazing saint, such an amazing devotee. And yet, all he was doing was giving misery to others prior to that. So he was a real rascal. I don't think any of us can claim to be such rascals. Yes, we are rascals, but not on that horse. I mean, that's something. Not that we should try to achieve that. Same with Jagai and Manai, in the best devotees. So the idea is that we should always be ready to go. And if COVID-19 means I have to go, that's fine. We'll go to that place where Krishna's performance passed, and we're going to have even better time there serving, because the capacity to serve is going to be much better there. And if we stay back, we don't die and we stay back, that's going to be great, because this world is going to be a better place to preach in also. This world is going to become a lot better place to preach in because of COVID-19 and these riots that are going on now in the United States and different things happening in different countries. There's a huge change. There's a huge cataclysmic shift coming about. This is going to last a little while. It's not going away tomorrow. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse for a while. Then it'll get better. And that getting better is not very far away. So this is our time of Chaturmasya. This is our lockdown time to actually read nicely, associate nicely, gain strength spiritually nicely, and already start reaching out to people, practicing it nicely. Everything will happen in our lives that you could have imagined. The best of the best will happen, way beyond your most ecstatic dreams, what we speak of, wildest dreams, your most ecstatic dreams. Thank you, Piyush Prabhu. That's a wonderful verse, wonderful purport. Prabhupada described his purports as his devotional ecstasies. He, in fact, even said his purports were more important than the verse. It's hard to say that. I would dare not say that, nor am I to. But Prabhupada said that. Why? Because it was Krishna who was speaking, Prabhupada was transcribing. So obviously, he can claim that statement very, very accurately and correctly. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else have anything to say? I think we've gone past our 1 hour, right? We're 10 minutes past our hour.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving such an enlightening class.
Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Yeah, if nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. And Prabhuji, we look forward for your association, Prabhuji.
Sure, we look forward to your association too. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much.
Let's pay our obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Rubhya Kripasantika Sindhya Vichidhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Granted
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai
Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
His Grace Nityananda Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Jai.
Thank you so much.
Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.